You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Gordon Brand Jr.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Eddie Pepperell leads from start to finish to claim a stunning win at the Sky Sports British Masters.
It was a grind, it was a tough day, obviously the conditions didn't play well really today, and thankfully I got myself a nice lead really overnight. Real privilege and pleasure really being on the end of the cheers, and my family should all be here because none of them were there in Qatar, so very pleased.
Alexander Bjork pushed the Englishman all the way, while a great week for host Justin Rose ended with another top 10 finish.
Yeah, it's been an honour, absolutely. I think beginning part of the week was tough. Just wasn't feeling really very well, but you know, the weekend's been so much fun and I've really enjoyed the golf.
All the fallout from Walton Heath to come, plus we'll look ahead to this week's event, the Andalucía Valderrama Masters, hosted by the Sergio Garcia Foundation. Hello, I'm Robert Lee and I'm joined by Gordon Brand Jr. Gordon, good to have you up from the West Country again.
Thank you very much, Robert. Pleasure to be here.
Do you feel like you're wearing a rut in that M4?
Yes, I certainly did, because I went up and down it twice on Sunday, which is very pleasant. But anyway, I'm here, Robert.
Now, Eddie Pepperell held off the challenge of Alex Bjork, who they played together in the final two ball, to win his second European Tour title of the season, the Sky Sports British Masters, on a very good test of golf, particularly, Gordon, in bad weather.
Well, Walton Heath is one of the beautiful heathland courses in the London area, and Eddie wins it by two shots. He had an extraordinary week, holing one on Thursday, and then as he turns to his homeward nine, he holds a wedge.
Talk about, you know, you hit a shot at the right time. How about that? Just to start the back nine, just to put a little bit of a buffer in there.
Oh, it's lovely, isn't it? Yeah. And it's out of a wet lie, horrible. You know, it's easy for those sort of days for the round to just get away with you, but Eddie said he hung on. He didn't actually think he played that well, which is a sign of a very good player, that you can actually do the job without flushing it.
But didn't the weather play its part in that? It was a kind of hang-on type of day, wasn't it? You couldn't stand there and just, you know, swing freely with your waterproofs on, and it was windy and wet and drizzly. It was horrible.
I think if you're going into the lead on the last day and you know that there's going to be tough conditions, that's a bit of a Brucey bonus, because you know the chasers are not going to be shooting birdies in. It's a hang-on day, as Eddie shot level par and won the tournament by two. Doesn't very often happen that you shoot level par and not a chase down by somebody.
Alex Bjork was very dogged. He stayed in there. He wouldn't let Eddie get too far away, and he kept it real right up until the last hole, really.
Well, apart from the shot into the bunker, Robert, where then he could only just put it on the green.
I didn't understand his second shot there, because he couldn't carry that massive bunker. Not even close to carrying it, and then you got a horrible bunker shot.
Yeah, I mean, and he's made a bogey and just given, you know, Eddie a little bit more breathing space. I mean, they do seem to have a go at their shots a lot more than we did in our day.
Heather, we don't see it that often, do we, on golf courses now in the European Tour, but it's certainly still pretty much a part of the Walton Heath setup. It's a great leveller, Heather. You can't get away with anything in it.
Well, I think puts the emphasis on driving it, keeping it in play, and you can seriously get caught out with this heather. I mean, you think, well, I can nudge a 7-iron forward, and it is forward, but only by 10 yards. It's great stuff. I think that Walton Heath has always been a tough test. It is tough when it's running fast, and it's tough when it's cleggy as well. So a wonderful venue as well.
9-under par was the winning score. That was Eddie Pepperell. And we know who finished second. That was Alex Bjork. Lucas Herbert from Australia and Jordan Smith from England finished third at 5-under par, Gordon.
Well, I mean, it shows how hard the conditions were. Very windy and then wet and miserable yesterday. The thing is, I take out from this is that the new boys are starting to really put themselves in places now. Jordan Smith and Eddie Pepperell. Eddie is his second win of the year. It's like the new Ryder Cup players are sort of putting their nose up a front a little bit more now.
And no surprise, really, that Justin, despite, you know, having to fight to make the cut, another top 10. He's remarkable. He's a machine, isn't he?
He is a machine. Funny enough, at Carnoustie, had to birdie the last on Thursday and Friday, Keeley, to make the cut, and then goes on to, you know, he could have won the tournament.
He birdied the last hole all 4 days. Now, if you got to pick a hole in the world that you could birdie 4 days in a row, it would not be the 18th at Carnoustie.
It would not, but it was good, kind to him, especially on Friday afternoon where he got himself into the weekend. So, you know, he's one of those players that, you know, it's not over. You've got to be in it to win it, and very difficult to win it when you just make the cut, but it's a real result to get in the top 10.
Jordan Smith, Eddie Pepperell, Tommy Fleetwood. There's a whole bunch of really strong young English players now in the golf scene.
Matt Wallace.
I can keep going. I just picked a few up.
I think there has to be as well. And, you know, for the future of the tour and future of team events, it's really good to see the youngsters popping their nose up and coming through.
Well, a bit of social media on the back of the win for Eddie Pepperell. Tommy Fleetwood said, "World class from start to finish, Eddie Pepperell. So happy for you and everyone involved." Luke Donald: "Well done, Eddie Pepperell and Caddy McDorran. Brilliant performance from start to finish. Enjoy a nice bottle of red or two tonight, pal, as the British Masters champ." And Justin Rose, the tournament host, said, "Great champion, even better bloke. Congratulations, Eddie Pepperell, on winning this year's Sky Sports British Masters." Now, you might think a person listening to that will get big-headed if it was about him. It is about him. He is listening to us. Eddie Pepperell on the line right now. Eddie, how good does it feel to be a British Masters champion?
It was great. You know, Rob, yesterday was a really tough day. Obviously, it was a long day. It was, conditions were tough, and sleeping on the lead, all week really wasn't easy. So I was kind of just looking forward to it all being over. And, you know, obviously I was hoping that I came out on top, which I did. Yeah, I'm very proud of the way I hung in there yesterday. It was all about battling. And I kind of said to myself, if I don't go out there today and swing the club really, really well, then I'm going to have to be prepared to win it with my attitude and with my character, if you like. And once I pulled hooked two on off the first, it became quite clear that my swing wasn't going to be where I wanted it. So it was a battle from the start. And sometimes, you know, you've just got to hang in there. And I just managed enough, I think.
Well, Eddie, congratulations. It's Gordon Jr. here. Wire to wire, that's not done very often. Now, when did you actually think you were going to win this tournament?
Well, frankly, from after day one when I led, I thought, great opportunity to win. You know, I have a lot of confidence in myself when I am at the top of the leaderboard early on in the week to stay there. I feel like I've proven that certainly over the last year or two when I've got off to good starts. I generally tend to hang around towards the top, whether I win or not. Well, you know, it depends. But I felt like I was certainly going to have a great opportunity to contend to win the golf tournament. And having won this year earlier in the year and felt very comfortable on a couple of other occasions being right up there, I expected myself to win, quite frankly. Now, obviously, you've then just got to manage time as best you can, because obviously 4 days, as you know, is just such a long time in golf. So, but from the get-go, really, I always thought I could win.
Teeing off in the last group, Eddie, big tournament with the lead, a little bit of a buffer back to the guys chasing you. Were you quite pleased that the weather was poor and it was a difficult day?
I think in hindsight, the way I putted, it was probably a good thing, because it put more of an emphasis on the ball striking, which, while I didn't feel like I was swinging my best, I was still kind of good enough in that department. And when the conditions get tough, I generally feel kind of comfortable. You know, I don't love tournaments when they become a putting competition. And I've historically never putted very well at the weekend, which was indeed the case this weekend. So, yeah, I think, though I don't like playing golf in the rain, and none of us do, you know, it maybe wasn't the worst thing that could happen to me yesterday.
Well, I mean, Eddie, now you're seventh ranked in the European Tour race to Dubai. And also, look at your putting stats. You've 69.97. So your putting has improved dramatically, as has your stroke average. What have you been doing differently? Did you know those stats? This is the best you've ever had this since you turned pro.
Yeah, so I look at the strokes gained. So we do the 15th club stuff. And
yeah.
Strokes gained, I'm still down on the field average every week. I mean, my putting has been the one area over the last 6 months to a year where I felt I have most room for improvement.
Yeah.
Because I generally hit my irons very well statistically, and off the tee, I just a case of me getting in play. But on the greens, I've occasionally been atrocious. So I started working with a new coach middle of the year. Mike Kansky was the name. And I would say my putting's definitely improved since then. I've probably gained on the greens, I think maybe 4 out of my last 5 or 6 events, which for me is, that's such a huge improvement, because I had a number of events last year and even at the beginning of this year where, even in Qatar where I won, for example, I lost strokes gained putting. So, I think moving forward, that's the most exciting thing for me. If I can keep improving my putting, then I expect my results to be, well, very consistent, which is always the number one target.
You've been on a lot of leaderboards, Eddie, of late. We see Eddie Pepperell up there a lot. So, in the last 12 months, sometimes you find little nuggets here and there that make a big difference. What have you found? One of those? Has somebody said something to you that was really, it really got in there and it really made sense to you and it really changed what you were doing?
I wouldn't say so, Rob. I mean, I think by and large, my form this season has been a carry on from last season, end of last year. I mean, I played last August onwards, I played really, really well. Tee to green, I was phenomenal. And if I'd have putted well one of those weeks, I would have won a golf tournament. So I don't think much has changed. I mean, I started with a new coach at the start of the year, won the first week, gave him quite a bit of rope and said, right, let's work on some of the things that you see. Frankly, I didn't get any better. I got worse. So I said, middle of the year after Ireland, right, I need to go back to doing, you know, primarily what I was doing at the end of last year. And then we've worked since then, I would say, from Scottish Open onwards, we've worked exceptionally well as a pair, me and my coach. And he's really beginning to understand the DNA of my swing. And, you know, we're on the same wavelength, I would say. So I think adding that to the putting I just mentioned, you know, it's all combining really, really nicely. And I think my attitude and my temperament and my mindset's been pretty on point, generally speaking, for a few years. I mean, I don't think it's ever got in my way. So, you know, I like to think that I'm building a nice rounded game, which is always the goal.
Well, Eddie, I mean, now you're moving forward, Masters next year. What's your goals for the next year or so?
Yes, I mean, definitely, you look at top 50, the one thing, you know, the instant thing you think of is the fact that your earning potential goes up, but it doesn't guarantee anything. I mean, I'm going to be stepping up into another, to a degree, another ballpark. I mean, the one thing I would take confidence from is I did pretty well in the US Open last year. Before my final round this year in USPGA, I think I was top 20, had a bad Sunday. But, I feel like the last couple of times I've been over to the States, I've played pretty well. I think I'm a good enough iron player to do pretty well over there. But, you know, we'll see. I'm going to build a schedule. Well, listen, I still want to play in Europe. I mean, I love playing in Europe. So, you know, next season, the schedule is going to be a lovely one, and I'm very fortunate position that I'm in, I guess.
I was just going to ask you that, Eddie. As a world's top 50 player, what would be your ideal schedule?
Well, looking at it next year, I mean, you've got all the majors pretty early, and then I'll start in the desert, and then probably go and play in America a couple of events around the majors and the WGCs, and then, but from June, July onwards, I'll be in Europe, and the schedule looks wonderful, to be honest. I mean, I did think that a couple of weeks ago, I thought if you can be top 50, looking at next year's schedule as a European player, it would be pretty awesome. So, fortunately, you know, it looks like I'm going to be in that spot, and it's going to be a really great schedule. You know, I start the year in Europe and end the year in Europe, and go over to the States a bit in between. It'll be good.
Now, last week, Justin Rose was the host of the tournament, and he gave you a bottle of wine. Is that correct? After your hole in one on Thursday,
him and Kate kindly brought me a bottle of Chateau Palmer, which is very nice, and we drank that last night. And it was a very nice touch. And you know, Justin again proving that he has the capacity to not be totally self-absorbed, which we all have that obviously capacity as golfers. But Justin, he was a great host, I think, and I enjoyed drinking it. It was lovely. It was a big wine, quite big actually, for a Bordeaux, I would say. I think it's a Bordeaux. I'm pretty sure it's a Bordeaux. I don't want to show my ignorance off here with wine, but it was lovely.
You're very close, Eddie, to your dog Gus. So has he been able to comprehend what you've just done? Have you explained to him that you are now the British Master and he's fully aware of your new accomplishment?
Well, we've bought him a little British Masters collar, Union Jack all over him. We've put a little Remembrance Sunday thing on his collar as well, which is nice. We've got two new British Masters pillows. We've also got a new British Masters doormat. So if he hasn't figured that out yet, then I might have to stick him in a dog home.
Oh, I think he's staying in the right home. I think in terms of being pampered, he's right up there. He's a top tenner, little
actually,
Gus.
He is, and I say that. And he's Hungarian, after all. So he looked at me, and he was not impressed initially. But, we can get him a British passport soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, he can apply for citizenship. Listen, brilliant play, Eddie. You've had a superb, certainly 12, 18 months. It's been really good. And this has sort of capped it off, but there's so much more to come. Thank you very much for joining us on the Race to Dubai show.
Congratulations, Eddie. See you soon. Take care.
Cheers, guys. Thanks very much. Cheers.
Yeah, Eddie in fine form, and so he should be. Second win of the year and a really nice victory on your CV, the British Masters, the Sky Sports British Masters. Now, stats-wise, it's the first wire-to-wire victory on the European Tour this season. He moves up to 7th from 11th on the Race to Dubai rankings presented by Rolex and is up to 33rd in the official world rankings, which is, when you're just outside the top 50, a lovely move to make, Gordon.
Yeah, as Eddie said, it does open up a new calendar for him next year in the WGCs and, you know, looking very good for the Masters next year. So his schedule's going to be one of top top events. So it's the rewards for two victories this year, Robert.
Yeah, and quite right too. That's what you want. You win and then you get all the bits and pieces chucked into your shopping trolley. Now, the rest of the leaderboard. Let's hear from the man who pushed Pepperell right until the end, Sweden's Alexander Björk.
There was a good fight all the way into the end. There was... so tough with the wind and the rain and the cold. And I played really well, especially the first nine holes. I was really solid, playing really good. And then second nine was a lot of holes into wind, and it was just a battle. And tried to catch in the gap to Eddie all day, and I was close in the end, but it was just one guy beating me, and that was that week. Another week, I'm the one who wins. So if you're up there and fighting for the victory, you always made a really good week. So I'm happy either way. But a little disappointed, of course, that I couldn't get all the way.
He's improving a lot, Alexander Björk. Good season last year and played some good stuff this year.
Yeah, and nice to hear him, isn't it? He's actually trying to chase down the leader. Or maybe it was just Eddie's day with a couple of hold shots through earlier in the week. But another guy who we hopefully are going to see much more of.
Now, Justin Rose ended his week with the top 10 finish, and the world number two has been reflecting on his week as tournament host, as well as why he chose Walton Heath as the venue.
I wanted a good test, yeah. I felt like the way it was set up today, that we didn't have as many options with tees as we might have needed, really, with northerly wind. But brilliant golf course, and obviously I love this style of golf when 10, 12 under par is a winning score.
How much have you enjoyed being tournament host this week?
Yeah, it's been an honour, absolutely. I think beginning part of the week was tough, just wasn't feeling really very well, but the weekend's been so much fun and I've really enjoyed the golf.
Well, they've done a good thing with the British Masters, and that is getting an iconic British player to host it and to be the figurehead for it. So a few have had a go and a few more will have a go. It was Justin's turn this time and it was very successful, Gordon.
I think it adds a great deal to the tournament when you've got some of our iconic names that maybe have wandered over the pond, but it's nice for them to come back and support some of our greatest tournaments on the European Tour.
How difficult do you think it is to do hosting duties, dinners and what have you, and concentrate on your game and make sure everything's good?
It's probably, in the real world, it's probably a terrible distraction for the players, but then they would be honoured to be asked to do it, and maybe it had an effect on just in the first 2 days where he only just scraped into the cut. But it's just one of those things. If you're going to be the host or you're going to be the captain, the golf maybe has to take second fiddle.
And that's going to be the case for Sergio coming up this week, more of which very shortly. Couple of hole-in-ones, certainly one to remember from Eddie Pepperell. I've never seen a hole-in-one the way his ball went in the hole like that.
Well, it went in twice, didn't it?
Yeah.
It sort of hit the pin, went in, spun out, did the loop.
And then forward span in.
How it went in that second time, it could have just spun to 10 feet past the hole, but it was brilliant. It's one for the...
It's almost not a what happened next, but it
that's
was...
That's what I was going to say. It's when, what happened next.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was...
But it was extraordinary.
You see lots of hole-in-ones, but I've never seen...
You see them dribble
like
in, fall in, but
spin
not go in.
Spin back in, hit trees, bounce off bunkers and go in, but not in... out and then forward spin into the hole.
It was like a donut, but in the
it
golf.
It was like it, yeah. It was like it. Yeah, tremendous stuff. Hole in ones, hole outs, and it was a really good week for stuff like that. And the crowd certainly got their money worth. Okay, top 10 from the British Masters is like this. There was a massive tie for ninth. Andy Sullivan, Hao Tong Li, Gavin Green, Ricardo Gouveia, who needs money by the way to keep his card. Tommy Fleetwood, Oliver Farr, Lucas Bjerregaard in eighth on his own after a really good comeback after a poor start was Justin Rose, the tournament host. Julian Suri tied with Tom Lewis and Sam Horsfield for fifth. Jordan Smith and Lucas Herbert were third. Alex Bjork was second. And Eddie Pepperell was the British Masters champion. So, last week's predictions. It's presenter versus co-preventer or presenter head-to-head. Two picks each. One has to be from outside the top 50 from last year's Race to Dubai standings. 20 points for a winner. 10 for a top 5. 5 for a top 20. A -5 for a missed cut. So I went for Tommy Fleetwood, who finished top 10. That was a 5-pointer. Harold Varner III, who was down to play, did not play. After playing in California, in Napa Valley, he decided not to come across to Walton Heath, so he didn't play. I didn't get any points. That was a 5-pointer. Matthew Fitzpatrick from Ewan Murray got 5 points for Matthew Fitzpatrick because he finished top 20. Tom Lewis, top 5. 15 points in total. That means presenters are now 10 behind the co-presenters with time running out. Gordon Brand Jr., time running out. You are 10 points up on the presenters. So a lot is on your shoulders this week.
Well, I'm with my predictions, you've probably got a great chance of coming back at me because my predictions have been awful.
Okay, we'll see who you've picked out and who you're going to curse this week at Valderrama shortly.
Yeah, unfortunately.
In the fancy race to Dubai game, Ingmar Bergman still leads the global standings, while Scott Teal got the most points last week. In the race to Dubai show, Mini League Trevor Gardner outscored the rest, while fellow listener Aaron Griffith is still out in front overall. Check out the Fantasy 3 to watch for the Andalucía Valderrama Masters, hosted by the Sergio Garcia Foundation, this week on EuropeanTour.com. Top 10 from the Race to Dubai standings are like this. Out in front is Francesco Molinari. Tommy Fleetwood made a slight dent in his lead, which is, let's have a look at this, 1.3 and a half million. So Tommy needs a big performance, and there are big tournaments coming up, of course. Patrick Reed in third, Rory McIlroy fourth, Alex Noren fifth, Torbjørn Erlesen sixth, Eddie Pepperell now seventh, Tyrrell Hatton eighth, John Rahm nine, and Russell Knox rounds out the top 10. Congratulations in other news to Gary Orr, who's made it back-to-back wins on the Stayshore Tour with a one-shot victory at the Paris Legends Championship. All of a sudden, it's all come good.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's taken some time to find his feet on the Stayshore Tour, and he won in Scotland at Craigie Law, and a great victory at the Paris Legends Championship last week as well. So Gary's found his feet, and the money's rolling in for Gary. Great, great player, Gary, lovely bloke.
He's always been a really good player. And Paul Eales finished fifth with that method.
Well, Paul took a seven on the last, par five.
Par five, he took seven.
Par five, took seven, had a chance. I think if he had made birdie, he would have been in a playoff. It's a tight hole, hit it out of bounds right, taken seven, goes down into fifth place. So
I'm glad he's not here this morning.
I haven't spoken to him yet, but the ambulance is taking him back to his room as we speak.
He does tend to be glass half empty.
No, it's empty. It's absolutely empty.
No, about Paul, he pretends it's half full.
He pretends it.
It's fantastic, unbelievable, but really,
Robert,
we know.
You've played so well and it's been so lovely. Why? Give me another ball. Give me another ball.
We know it's half empty. That I just, in a way, not to diss you in any way, wish he had been here this morning.
Yeah, unfortunately for Paul, he took a seven on the last, which is a... Yeah, you know, because there's no time to repair it. When you finish the tournament...
It's the last thing you remember.
And being up there as well, so that would have really hurt.
Oh, that would have hurt. And so there'll be more, Paul, there will be more. And Finland's Kalle Samuja has secured his European Tour status. Well done, by the way. For 2019, by winning the Challenge Tour's Hainan Open by two shots. And on the PGA Tour, Australia's Mark Leishman shot a final round of 65 to win the CIMB Classic by five shots. So we've talked about Paul Eales, we've talked about Gary Orr. I would think Kalle Samuja you probably don't know too much about.
No, I don't, but...
Another Finn to find his way on tour, what a thrill it must be.
I think there's an awful lot of work these guys have to do in stepping stones of going through the Challenge Tour and trying to get into the main tour. And it really is probably harder to get into the tour than it is to hold your card. So it's great for the guy to win and to be on the European Tour next year.
Now, if you're hearing paper rustling, it's because I'm manically looking for the world rankings. Panic over. OK, Jordan Spieth in 10, Ricky Fowler 9, and bearing in mind, nobody has changed position from last week. John Rahm 8, Bryson DeChambeau 7, Francesco Molinari in 6th, Rory 5th, Justin Thomas 4th, Brooks Koepka 3rd, Justin Rose 2nd, and DJ Dustin Johnson still at the top of the pile. Now we get on to the next event on the European Tour, and it's becoming very important that players outside the top 110 play well this week because time is running out in terms of players trying to keep their cards. The Andalucía Valderrama Masters, hosted by the Sergio Garcia Foundation. How much do you like the golf course, Valderrama?
I think it's a tremendous test of driving and trying to manage the golf course. It is fraught with danger, with undulating greens, narrow fairways. It's somewhere you come off in anything under par, you have had a result. It is so demanding, so difficult. It's not necessarily one that you can enjoy because it's a destroyer.
Sergio will be hosting, having to do all the work that Justin did this week. Yes. So he's got that on his plate, but also he's at a venue that he loves.
Oh, he loves it, doesn't he? I mean, you know, Ryder Cup they were victorious in 97. In Spain, you know, Garcia is going to be well up for this task, and they're going to embrace him, and as he's going to embrace this tournament as well.
So who's coming along to join Sergio on the fairways at Valderrama?
Quite a reasonable field, isn't there? Obviously, Garcia, that's Shane Lowry, there's Andrew Johnson. Awful lot of good names playing this week.
And you could mention some of the young Spaniards. Adrian Otegi, Alvaro Quiroz, Pablo Larrazábal, Nacho Elvira, all players that would be desperate to win in Spain. So who have you picked that's going to worry about you backing them with two picks you've got, and it's two people that are going to be affected by your next words that you speak?
Well, my next words could be just a killer for somebody in this field, and I'm trying to figure out someone who keeps...
Someone you don't like?
Someone that keeps a ball in play.
Right.
You know, and has...
Because Valderrama's not long, is it? It's not a long course, not modern standards, it's not.
It's not a boomer's course. No. I mean, it does help if you hit the ball further, but you've got to be in play. So I'm going to go somewhere like Lee Westwood. I think it's right up his street. Plod, plod, plod. Lots of good shots.
Yeah.
Reasonable short game, but okay. It's certainly keeping it in play. And then if we go to the bottom end at 111, we've got Bradley Dredge, who's right on the bubble for his card next year. He's only 100 euros out, so he doesn't need a big week, but he needs a very steady week, and he needs to be there for the weekend. It's a hard time for some of these guys that are just trying to stay there on tour.
I'm going to go for, I think, a man that's going to be rejuvenated going into 2019. Sergio Garcia had a great Ryder Cup. A lot of talk about what might happen when Thomas Bjorn picked him, and he was a trooper. 3 points he got at Le Golf National. He is hosting this week. And I think he'll cope with all the duties that he's got to do. He's on a golf course that he loves. And I do believe we're going to see some amazing golf in the next 12 months from Sergio Garcia. He's my pick, along with a great guy, a top, top guy, Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño, who had to go back to school. He's outside the top 110. He's 125 at the minute. Made some money last week at the British Masters, looking for a big final hurrah at the Andalusia Valderrama Masters, hosted by the Sergio Garcia Foundation, which we will review next week, and then look ahead to the WGC HSBC Champions event in China. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat via europeantour.com or by downloading the official app. But for now, from Gordon Brand Jr., who's gone for?
Lee Westwood and Bradley Dredge, good luck to you.
And myself, Robert Lee, who is backing Sergio Garcia and Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño for a great week in Valderrama. And by the way, good luck to all of those trying to move from outside the top 110 to get inside the top 110 and be on tour on the European Tour next season. From Gordon and myself, it's goodbye.